السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, the verse that I just recited a few moments ago is a verse from Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse 136. This verse has captured the imagination of the world of scholars. They are taken back, blown away by the profound, deep, mighty message that this ayat gives to the listener, to the reader. Allah Almighty says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, that O people of faith. So the addressee is a person of faith. Allah did not say, Ya ayyuhalladhina kafaru, ya nafaku, that those people that are non-believers. The address is not to the non-believers, the address is to the believers. So immediately we should acknowledge that Allah is speaking to each one of us. And Allah Rabbul Izzat has addressed us by our connection with Him. And that is the connection of Iman. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. But immediately after that, the Most Wise, Allah Almighty, He says, Aminu. That O believers, believe. So there's a slight confusion here, that what is the true meaning of the second amanu? What is the true definition, translation, commentary to the second amanu? Because if we take it superficially and we take it as faith, then that of course has been conveyed in the first amanu. Does it make sense what I'm saying? So the scholars have deeply studied the second aminu, because there is no word in the glorious Quran that is without reason, without wisdom. So many scholars are of this understanding that the second aminu means ittaqu. So the verse will be translated as Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqu. That O people of faith, ittaqu, fear your Creator. Then there are many other scholars of this understanding that amanu in reality contains a ocean. And that ocean is that there should be no contradiction between our external and internal. So the second aminu addresses a mighty, mighty problem that the Muslim world is facing, that there is a contradiction, a tawad, between the external and the internal. Second aminu demands that the internal should be in tune with the external, and the external should be in tune with the internal. The third commentary of Aminu is that all of fail mein tawad nahi hona chahiye. That there should be no contradiction between speech and action. That whatever you say is what you do. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Surah Saf, Surah 61, opening verses.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون.
So the second aminu of this amazing ayat gives us the understanding, the message that there should be no contradiction between the qawl and the fi'l, between the verbal statement and the action. Now if we encapsulate all different understandings of the deep meaning captured in the second aminu of verse 136 Surah An-Nisa, we can connect it with another ayah of the glorious Quran, and that will give us the complete meaning. And that is the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Baqarah, as we know, is the longest surah in the glorious Quran, the second surah of the glorious Quran. And in verse 208, Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. So in a very simple manner, this ayah of Surah Baqarah captures all the different understandings pertaining to the meaning that Aminu has captured in this ayah. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa, enter perfectly into Islam. That is the meaning. Meaning that our qawl, our fi'l, our batin, our zahir, should all be in tune to the statement of Aminu. And the statement of Aminu is the creed of testimony, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Meaning that not only my tongue makes the statement of Iman, but even my heart makes the statement of Iman. Now let me pause and halt here, so we can excel this topic. We can allow it to blossom. We have all understood from the beautiful, profound statement of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the king organ, the chief organ of the entire human existence, is the human heart. Very famous statement of the Nabi of Allah. I just made mention a few moments ago that the scholars are of this understanding that whatever is outside should be inside, meaning in the heart. So Islam, Iman, should penetrate into the heart. It is not understood at any level in any country that the king is walking in one direction and the awam, the subjects, are walking in the different direction. They'll all be walking in one direction. The king leads the awam, the public. The heart, according to this ayah 136, amanu aminu, has to be in tune. The heart has to be in tune to the creed of faith. That means all the other body parts have to follow as well. A person cannot say that my heart is adorned and beautified with aminu, but when this person analyzes how his body reacts to certain actions in certain scenarios in this dunya, and he finds that it is not in tune, he is false in his statement. So the best way for each one of us to analyze if Aminu, the second Aminu, with all its different commentary, has really registered with us and we are truly mu'mins, is to analyze if my hands have become a Muslim, if my eyes have become a Muslim, if my mind has become a Muslim. Every single body part has to become a Muslim for a person to be truly labeled as a believer. Person can't say that my tongue has said La ilaha illallah and I'm a Muslim. His body parts will be checked. Heart be Musliman, huwa yani?
المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده.
Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explicitly makes mention that a Muslim is that person that others are safeguarded from the harm of his hand and his tongue. Salima, salamati.
Have my hands become a Muslim? What do I do with these hands? Do I give or do I snatch? Do I give or do I snatch? Have my eyes become a Muslim? Are they ready to be placed on the countenance of Allah Almighty? How impure our eyes are. Are we in the position to make a claim that our eyes are a Muslim? What is in our mind? Has our brain and our mind at that level that it can be called a Muslim? What passes through the mind? What are the thoughts that emerge on and off? What occupies our private moments? What is passing through that mind? Has the mind become a Muslim? Am I spending my energy, my ability as a Muslim? This is the demand of the second aminu of this ayah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu aminu. That O people of iman, meaning people that have made a claim to iman, become a true mu'min, where your entire human body, from the tip of your toe to the top of your skull, becomes a Muslim. If my eyes are impure, my thoughts are impure, and my heart has not captured the mahabba and the ishq and the ma'rifat of Allah, how can I say that my mind, my eyes and my heart is a Muslim? And that's why I said a few weeks ago, I want you to go back home, just close your eyes, look into your heart, and you will see all the different images that lie in your heart. It is a method of meditation. Close your eyes, look into your heart, and you will be amazed to see what emerges. All those different images that are hiding in the heart, that we do not realize, but we have allowed them to enter the heart through the village of knowledge, through the eye, through the ear, through reading, through education, through seeing. All these images have made it into the heart, but they have settled down. And if we do not meditate and analyze the condition of the heart, you will not realize these images. I urge my Muslim brothers and sisters to go back home today. And just before you go to sleep tonight, close your eyes, focus 5 or 10 minutes on your heart and see the images that appear. And then you yourself become the judge. Can I call my heart a Muslim? Easy. I'm not judgmental. I have the same problems. We're all on the same boat. So this second amanu has a very deep, profound meaning. And to establish the second amanu in your life will take your entire life. And that's why they say there is no rest in deen. Allah Rabbul Izzat says to the Nabi of Allah, Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. Now in Arabia there weren't rivers. There weren't rivers. It was dry, it was barren. Allah Almighty says to the Nabi of Allah that you start to swim. Swim towards me. Why did Allah use this as a message to the Nabi of Allah? Because as we all know that once we jump into the river, we cannot stop moving until we make it across. If we stop, we will drown. If we stop, we will drown. Allah could have said to the Nabi of Allah that you walk through the desert. But the deep
profound meaning that this ayat has that this ayah contains of Surah Al-Muzammil could not be captured in that statement. Because a person can dismount, settle down, camp overnight, and he can continue the next day. But if he's in the water and he stops for a split moment, he doesn't paddle the water, or he does not swim, he will drown. Allah Almighty says to the Nabi of Allah, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. Swim long. You can only stop when Malakul Maut arrives and he says, it is time to leave. It is the time for the extraction of the soul from the body. To establish the Amidu, the second Aminu, where everything is in tune. Everything is regulated by the Ishaq of Allah, by the Muhabba of Allah, and no order is contravened, will take our entire life. To take our entire life. One is a claim, and one is the true evidence of that claim. That true evidence is not given overnight. And that's why Allah Almighty's Piyara Nabi, most beloved person, he says, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. That you cannot even make a claim to Islam. You cannot make a claim to Islam if your brothers, if your fellow beings are not safeguarded from your heart, from your tongue, from your hand. If we study the golden times of Islam, where Islam was spreading rapidly, we come to know that they had taken the entire package. I have said this many a times, that mostly the Muslim world is focusing upon rituals. Focusing upon rituals. We will all know what breaks the salah, what does not break the salah. The laws of Allah will regulate our salah. It will regulate our fasting. It will regulate our hajj and our umrah. But what about the laws pertaining to our mu'asharat, mu'amalat, the mode of life, the way of life, our dealings, our affairs? We are oblivious to that. Absolutely oblivious. I was just entering and somebody said that, can we make an announcement regarding the parking of the cars? And this is not the problem of Holland Park Mosque, this is the problem of all the Muslims throughout the entire world. All the Muslims throughout the entire world, we do not even know how to park a car. Because we are all one. All one. But if you ask that person, how many units in Jumu'ah? How high do you raise your hands? What do you say? What do you not say? What breaks the wudu? What does not break the wudu? He's a mufti. But if you ask him about parking the car, he will not even allow this part of our deen to make it into his deen. Will not give it room. And this is one of the mighty reasons why Islam is on the decline. Because Allah has promised success on the entire package. Not on the partial package. Not on the partial package. If anything is missing from the package, it will be detrimental to the entire ummah. The entire package has to be taken. And that's why Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that you cannot even make a claim to Islam if your brothers and your sisters, your fellow beings, are not safe from your harm. Let me pause here. Let me address myself and address everyone. Is your wife, your children, your brothers, your family members safe from the venom of your tongue? I want you to talk to yourself. How do you address your wife? How do you address your children? It's most easy to address your wife and your children when you are in a happy mood. That is not akhlaq. That is natural. Natural instinct. You are in a good mood with your wife and you're showing good akhlaq. This is natural. That is swimming with the flow. You will be challenged when the environment is not conducive to the akhlaq. And that is when your wife is back chatting. When your children are misbehaving. When your brother treats you in a fashion that is not desired by you. Now the environment is not conducive. Now you will be challenged. Taking your wife for a dinner, presenting her with a rose, spending time with her when you're in a good mood, everyone does that. What have you done? Everyone does that. Non-Muslims are even better than us in this. You are challenged. That's when your akhlaq has to come out, has to be on display. That is when the venom of your tongue, the poison of the body, the harm that is within, should not come on display. This is the meaning of al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisan. I'm not a madman that I'll stand up and start to punch Brother Mubarak. Why should I punch Brother Mubarak? Right now he is safeguarded from my hand and my tongue. But let's say we have a fight. There is a dispute between us. Now the injunction comes my way. And Allah says, now your hand and your tongue should be in such a position that Brother Mubarak is safeguarded. How many complaints we are receiving, increasing by the day, of the venom that is spat out by our brothers and sisters. Ye kaun sa Islam? Which Islam is this? There was a time, the golden time, they took the entire package. Not only salah. I say this many a times. Not only salah. But your ma'amalat, your ma'asharat, the way you deal with people. Everything has to be in tune. We don't have much time because we have many announcements today to make. I'll give you one or two examples from the golden times. There was a scholar by the name of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, we all know of him. In his majlis, there used to be thousands of people that used to benefit from his hadith lesson. One of the great scholars of Islam. So, there was a town, and in that town there was a Jewish person. In Baghdad, Jewish person. That wanted to sell his property. They said, I want to sell my property. So the rate of the houses in the neighborhood, for example, was 1,000 dirham per one house. This Jewish person was in his house and somebody knocked on the door. And he said, I'm interested in buying this house. He said, fine. He said, how much are you going to sell this house for? He said, 2,000 dirham. He said, that's a ridiculous price. Your house is no different than the houses adjacent. And the price of all the houses in this neighborhood is $1,000. Why are you asking for 2,000? He said, there is a reason behind it. He said, 1,000 is the price of the house. And 1,000 is the price of the neighbor that I am leaving behind. There's a neighbor. And I'm charging for that neighbor as well. He said, what do you mean? He said, that if I leave this house and you enter this house, you should know that you have secured a property adjacent to the property of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Your neighbor is Abdullah ibn Mubarak. I'm charging $1,000 for the neighbor. He said, why? He said that you do not need a bodyguard. You don't have to worry about your food. You don't have to worry about the maintenance of your property. Whatever he has, he will share with you. So down the track, you will understand that this $1,000 extra is most profitable for you. So there was a time, you know, we talk about the golden times and we talk about Islam as a government. But we don't talk about this. This is what is demanded. This is what is required. Not only cutting off the hands and pelting a person if he commits zina. It's only the tip of the iceberg. It is an entire package where a person is compelled to live a life based upon the love of Allah, based upon the love of the people around him, to live a life that is pleasing to Allah Almighty, where people feel comfortable. There is so much love that Abdullah ibn Mubarak is such a beautiful neighbor that the Jewish person that is of a different faith feels comfortable with him. He has resentment to leave the house, so he puts a very high price to the neighbor, Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Let's take ourselves now. Us. Me, you. Can we say that to anyone? That I'm leaving this house, alright, and I'm charging $5,000 extra because we have a Muslim brother living beside you. He's a beautiful neighbor. We are disturbing the community. Look at our behavior. This is the center of Islam right now. Mother mosque, neighborhood is disturbed. Nabi Akreem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Wallah la yu'min, Wallah la yu'min, Wallah la yu'min. Allah ki qasam ye mu'min nahi hai. Three times the Nabi of Allah said, Wallah la yu'min. Allah ki qasam, I swear by the honor of Allah, he's not a mu'min. La ya'man jarahu bawa'iqahu. When the neighbor is not free from his harm, he's not a mu'min. You can make a claim you're a mu'min. You can have the longest beard. You can have the topi. You may be coming five times to the masjid. Or you do not have a topi. You do not have a beard. You make a claim to Islam. But if your neighborhood is not happy with your conduct, my Nabi, your Nabi, has three times says, Wallahi la yu'min. And the Nabi of Allah didn't say Muslim neighbor, kafir neighbor, non-Muslim neighbor, neighbor. This is Islam. That's how Islam flourished. Because the entire package was on display. The non-believers, they were baffled. They were perplexed, riveted. That how can Islam spread like this? And how can Muslims in a very short time become the capital of the world? Baghdad became the capital of the world. So I was reading in Tariq-e-Baghdad, an amazing story. So they sent a spy. The spy arrives in Baghdad. The spy arrives in Baghdad to analyze, to collect information and give a report to the leaders, to the chiefs, that what is lacking in us that does not allow us to attain success at this rapid pace. So when he enters Baghdad, the first thing is he feels very hungry, so he goes to a restaurant. So he sits down in the restaurant and he doesn't know anyone there. And he orders food. And he's waiting for the food and suddenly something in his back of his mind says that, look, somebody's staring at you. The sixth sense. And he looks to his right and he finds that there's a person staring at him. Whoa. He said, I'm a new person here. It's just like if we go to a country, we're not familiar with the country. You sit down and somebody starts to stare at you. All the vibes will be negative. So he starts to think that, whoa, most probably this person is waiting that I finish my meal, I walk outside and he just jumps on me and he robs me. I'm in trouble. But anyway, he looks away, he breaks that eye contact, he focuses somewhere else, and after a few moments again, the mind says, let's look if he's still staring. He looks and he's still staring. Second time. It happens a few times. So he's not enjoying the meal. So he eats the meal and he's worried that, oh, I have to leave the restaurant. What's going to happen outside? So after consuming the meal, he goes to the cashier and he says, how much? He said, it's all paid. He said, what do you mean it's all paid? He said, who paid? He said, no, that person was sitting there. He said, the person that was staring at me. He said, yes, he paid for you. So why did he pay for me? He said, he paid because he saw you as a traveler, a newcomer to the town. So you are his guest. So he paid for you. He said, why didn't he come to me so I could say thank you? He said, he wants thanks from Allah. He wants the reward from Allah, not from you. I said, amazing. So now suddenly he settles down. All the fear disappears. All the fear disappears. Then he goes out. He's studying the locality, the people, how they're treating him. And then suddenly he sees something in a shop. And looks at these items that are hanging. And one item really interests him. He wants to buy it for his family members. So he goes to the shopkeeper and he says, how much is this? He says, let's say it's 10 dirham. He said, I would like to buy this. He says, look, the shopkeeper says, you can buy it, but do you see that shop across the road? Buy it from there. You will find the item, the same item, same quality, same price. Go to that shopkeeper. Because he was a newcomer, he did not ask him too much, and he went across the road, he bought the same item. But after buying the item, he thought about it, that why did this shopkeeper guide me to this shop? Shopkeepers, they want all the customers to come to their shop. So he goes to this first shopkeeper and he says, look, why didn't you sell me the item? I came to you. This was profit for you. So he says, look, I had sold so many items throughout the day, and I had secured a healthy income that could provide food and sustenance for my family. But my brother across the road, he did not have a very good day today. And I worried that if my brother does not receive customers for the remaining of the day, there is a probability that his children may not have food on the table. So I guided you to him. This person who came to investigate was blown away. He said, if this is the raham of two Muslim people, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً Surah Hashr, Surah 59, verse number 9. Allah speaks about the immigrants, the muhajirun and the ansar. And Allah says that the ansar used to give preference to their muhajir brothers. They used to give certain things to them. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً Even if they were in need of it. It's easy to give something when you don't need it. Many a times, person says, I'll give you this sofa. And you receive the sofa and it's the time of Yusha bin Nun. You say, what kind of sofa is this? Everything is falling apart. He's giving you that sofa because he doesn't need it. He's dumping it at your house. But if that person comes to you and he says, look, I have a beautiful sofa at home, it is the most favorite sofa that I have, I give it to you, that is ithar. Ithar is not giving something that you're going to dump anyway. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ They give to their muhajir brothers. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً Even if they are in need, they like it. They want to hold upon it. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You cannot attain perfection in faith until you give that which is dear to you. He said, I am perplexed. I am riveted that how can two people have so much love, so much concern for each other? The love. He said that if this is the level of love between you and the Raham, I want to study the love of that person who brought you together. And he started to study about the Nabi of Allah and accepted Islam. This is Islam. You cannot win hearts of people by hatred. You cannot win the hearts of people with hatred. You're going to win the hearts of humanity. Even the heart of your wife you cannot win by a brutal conduct. You may win her body, but you won't win her heart. You may win her, but not the outside, not inside. You won't win that. That is only given to that person who shows courtesy, who is muhib, you know, who is a person that is loving and caring. This is the legacy of Islam. Let's try to, for a little while, shift from the rituals, not abandoning the rituals, but placing much more focus, much more energy upon the construction of the Islamic building, the beautification of the Islamic building, by learning about our mu'amalat and learning about our mu'asharat and learning about how to deal with other people in times that are conducive and in times that are not conducive. I'm just going to conclude. We have time because holiday today. Things come in the mind. Allah Almighty says in Surah Luqman, now everyone knows Luqman, has a Luqman. What a wise person. Not a prophet, wise person. And because of his wisdom, an entire chapter of the glorious Quran surah is dedicated to this person. Surah Luqman, Surah 31. Allah Almighty makes mention in that surah, وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. What an amazing ayah. Now the people that are Arabs, they will understand khaddak means the cheek. Now there are two translations of this ayah. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Do not puff your cheeks. Do not turn your cheeks. So the mufassirun of this ayah, they have given many, many examples so we can understand the meaning of وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. And I'll give you an example by stating one of the examples that Imam Razi has given. He says that when two humans, they connect, it doesn't matter if they are Muslims or non-Muslims, they will connect by greeting. True? So two Muslims, assalamu alaikum. So that person is walking, you are walking towards him. Now it's in your mind, you're going to meet each other. And you make up your mind, I'm going to meet him, I'm going to meet him with two hands, I'm going to embrace him, whatever the case may be. And then you say, assalamu alaikum. Now, giving the salam has been spoken about in Surah Baqarah. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Giving the salam has been spoken about in Surah Baqarah, that whenever you say something, say it good. But Islam has said, don't worry about this yet. You have to approach the scenario in a good manner. That before even approaching the person, when the person is looking at you, he should feel comfortable with you. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ addresses our body language. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ do not puff your cheeks, do not turn away from the person, addresses our body language. That even before giving salam, that person should feel comfortable with you. Then the scholars have taken this across the board, that when a scholar comes to give a talk, نَحْمَدُهُ his body language should make the people comfortable. Serious. نَحْمَدُهُ وَنُصَلِّي. People, body language. Before even spitting out even one word, the body language should make people comfortable. Muslims, non-Muslims, you see a non-Muslim coming towards you, the smile first. وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ. Not turning away means smile, that person is coming to you. Despite all the stereotype, despite all the stigma, that person should feel comfortable. Comes to you, assalamu alaikum, good morning. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is the beautification of that body language. Assalamu alaikum, good morning, good afternoon, how are you? But if you're standing there, good morning, it's against Islam. Smile. Bring a smile. وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah Rabbul Izzah, give us tawfiq. Allah Rabbul Izzah, allow us to fulfill the commands of Allah in relation to our mu'amalat and our mu'asharat. As we are speaking about akhlaq, this topic is a very lengthy topic and it will take many, many of our jumu'ahs. But let's now, because it is holidays, we're going to be out. Let's try to bring a smile on our face. And let's try to make everyone around us, our wife, our children, our neighborhood, everyone comfortable. Second message. There's a hadith reported by Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. Imam Ahmad in his Musnad Ahmad has reported this. We can start collecting, yes, inshallah. And donate with generosity, please. Ma min qawmin ijtama'u. Ma min qawmin ijtama'u. Yadhkurun Allah Azza wa Jal. La yuridun bidhalika illa wajha. إِلَّا نَادَاهُمْ مُنَادٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ أَن قُومُوا مَغْفُورٌ لَّكُمْ أَن قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَّكُمْ فَقَدْ بَدَّلَتْ سَيِّئَاتُكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. What does Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The hadith has been put together by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad Ahmad, that when people come together like we are right now, ما من قوم اجتمع, when we come together, يذكرون الله عز وجل, and we remember Allah, we make the dhikr of Allah, we speak about Allah, لا يريدون بذلك إلا وجه, and our intention is only to secure the pleasure of Allah, nothing else, no alternative maqsad. Maqsad is Allah خوش ہو جائے, Allah is happy with us. What does Allah do then? إِلَّا نَادَاهُمْ مُنَادٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Then there's an angel that calls out from the heavens. And what does he say? أَنْ قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ. Stand up, duly forgiven. Stand up, you are forgiven. So when we stand up from the Jumu'ah, because our maqsad was only to learn about Allah, we stand up, we are forgiven. But not only forgiven, what about the sins? They drop, what happens? No. فَقَدْ بَدَّلَتْ سَيِّئَاتُكُمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. All your sins have been replaced with virtue. First hadith. Second hadith that has been recorded by Imam Muslim. There are two Rabis, reporters of this hadith. One is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Second is Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And it's a very famous hadith we have heard many a times. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَقْعُدُ قَوْمٌ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. There's no one that sits down, remembers Allah, but that person, that crowd is surrounded by angels. غَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ. And covered by rahmah, mercy. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ. And sakina, tranquility, peace of the heart descends. And then to top everything, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Allah mentions that person with those angels that are with him, the most honorable angels. Alhamdulillah, we are very, very blessed that over this weekend we have our ijtima'. Ma min qawmin ijtama'u. Ijtima'. Alhamdulillah, we may have 300-400 people now, right now. But to get close to 2,000 people at an ijtima' is not a majlis that we witness on a regular basis. So alhamdulillah, our ijtama is going to be held in the Dara Masjid, and it will start from today after Salatul Asr. And we believe that there will be 1500 to 2000 people. And this is a ijtama, a majlis that will take place nearly after every Salah. Conclusion of this is after Fajr on Monday. Now there will be bayanat, there will be lectures given, and all these bayanat and lectures are regulated by the greatness of Allah Almighty. So the two ahadith that I have made mention, and think about it, the larger the majlis, the greater chance you have to succeed. The larger. That's why when we say, if we die in Hajj, inshallah, we believe that we're going to be forgiven, because 3 million people are making dua for you. 3 million people are making dua for you. So we got 2,000 people sitting in one majlis, لا يريدون بذلك إلا وجهه. The intention is only one intention, and that is to please Allah Almighty. So we believe that when all of us, we sit down there and listen to the bayan, and listen to the azmat of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the greatness of Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when we stand up, we will be forgiven, and all our sins will be replaced with virtue. So do not allow this opportunity to pass by without availing. Try to take time out and try to spend time there. Try to submerge yourself in that environment, غَشِيَتْهُمْ الرَّحْمَةِ, that is covered by rahmah, and is covered and surrounded by malaika. We don't get majalis like this on a regular basis. Please, it is my humble request to all, go and be a part of it. Try to benefit from it. Try to allow that sakina to descend in your heart. Nowadays, most of humanity is struck by anxiety, struck by depression, worries. We need to place ourselves in a theater where we know with certainty that sakina is descending, that can address the anxiety, the different levels of depression, so we can settle down and live a comfortable life. Allah Rabbul Izzat allow us to spend time at the ishtima as well, and Allah Rabbul Izzat make this ishtima the means of hidayah for so many.
الله